So the Bhagavad Gita is philosophy. It's based on the Sankhyan method of philosophy. Sankhyan was a very ancient method of philosophy, very prevalent in India thousands of years ago. And the Sankhyan comes from the word Sankhya. Sankhya means to count. So Sankhyan philosophy is a very systematic philosophy, like counting, you know, one, two, three. And it was very scientific, just as in science. What do they do? First they observe, okay, these are the various plants. Then they classify them, you know, different species of flowers, different. And then what is the relationship? Which flower is related to which one? How they grow, how they procreate. So similarly, the Sankhyans studied the entire mankind, then they classified them into the various categories, and then they saw what is the relationship and what makes a particular category what it is. Now the Sankhyans, only thing about them was they did not believe in God. They said there is no such thing as God. How did the world come about? So they said there are two independent factors. They called Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha being spirit and Prakriti being matter. So what we hear in our Om represents the spirit and everything else represents the world of matter. So my body, mind, intellect, my perceiver, feeler and thinker, and the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, all that is the world of matter that is changing, and the spirit is constant. But in their thinking, both were constant. They said Prakriti is also constant and Purusha is also constant. Yes, Prakriti gets modified and different beings are created and perish, but Prakriti is eternal according to them, and Purusha is also eternal. Where the Gita and the Vedanta differs, they talk about Purusha and Prakriti and what Krishna talks in the Gita, but they have the concept of God. And God is represented as Purusha, as the supreme consciousness. Purusha does not mean male, but the supreme consciousness that is all-pervading, which they call Brahman. And Prakriti is just an expression of that Purusha. Prakriti is dependent upon the Purusha. Prakriti is the matter, the Maya, and the creation depends on. That's what the not a slight, but a major difference. But the system of philosophy is Sankhyan in both. So the method of tabulating, classifying, so that is how the Gita works. So far we have studied in the last few weeks, there are three categories of human beings, or three categories of gunas, qualities under which human beings work. One is the sattvic. They are the pure, the knowledgeable. Then the rajasic. They are the passionate, the active, working hard, sometimes little dishonestly, greedy. And then the tamasic, the ones who are lazy, who need to be guided by others, don't do anything on their own. And we saw that all of us are under the influence of all the three gunas. You cannot say I'm sattvic, pure rajasic. We are all a mixture. But each one of us has a predominant guna, a predominant quality. Somebody may be more rajasic. Majority of the people in the world are more rajasic, more active. Then there are a few, you know, saints and, you know, seekers who are predominantly sattvic. The priests and the teachers and the saints. And then there's a large number of people who are tamasic, who are basically the workers who are guided. And last few weeks we had studied that each one of us, like a sattvic person who is predominantly sattvic, will have a sattvic knowledge, sattvic action, with sattvic fortitude, with persistence. With that understanding, then the joy he gets is sattvic, the pure joy. While a person who is rajasic, passionate, he does rajasic actions with rajasic knowledge, rajasic fortitude, and the joy he gets is rajasic. And similarly, a tamasic person doing tamasic actions with tamasic fortitude will get tamasic happiness or joy. Today, Krishna is now continuing the discussion, taking it in a different direction, where he addresses the four castes. As we know in Hindus, there are four castes: Brahmana, the scholars, the teachers, the priests, Kshatriyas, the warriors, and the leaders. Vaishyas are the business people, the farmers, and Shudras are the workers, the workers who work in factories, who work in offices, in the fields. So how did this classification come about and how did that get perverted? We'll talk about that today. How this whole very intelligent concept was perverted by a few people for their selfish gain. So we'll do verse number 40, chapter 18, verse 40. Na tadasti prithivyam va devi deveshu va punah satvam prakriti jair muktam svabhava prabhav sorry Yadebhisyatribhirgunaihi. So, na tadasti, there is not prithivyam va divi. Neither in the earth nor divi, nor in the heavens among the devas, among the heavenly beings, the gods, or neither among the earth nor in the heavens is this. Any being, sattvam here means being. Sattvam does not mean the sattva purity, but any being who exists, prakriti jair muktam. See these gunas, yadhevi syat tribhir gunahi. These three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, are born out of prakriti. So, what he is saying is that there are these three gunas born out of prakriti. We talked about rajas, sattva and tamas. And they are born out of prakriti, out of the creative power of the Lord who creates these three gunas. And all of us are constituted of these three gunas. Not only we, but even animals, even birds, even plants, they all have these three gunas. So there is no being. There is no being, there is no entity, either in this world or even among, you mean among the heavens, the gods, they also have sattva, rajas and tamas, yes. They have more sattva, obviously, they have more purity, but they also have rajas, they also have tamas. We hear of stories of gods being jealous of each other and fighting with each other and gods and demons. So these qualities are there in everybody except in the realized master, except in the total consciousness, Brahman, that is free of all these gunas. So there is, he says, there is no being. But then how did these four castes come about? See, they say there is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So Krishna says, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoha Yoho. Guna karma vibhaga yoho. So what he says, I created the four castes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, but not based on family. It's not that a Brahmana son automatically becomes a Brahman or a Kshatriya son automatically. It has nothing to do with family, nothing to do with your parents, nothing to do with which house you are born. It is based on your guna and your karma, on your qualities and on your actions. And we'll explain that a little more. And there is a beautiful hymn called Purusha Suktam. Purusha is the supreme spirit, supreme consciousness from which this whole universe was emerged. It is one of the most powerful hymns, most chanted and repeated. So there it says, Brahmano Mukham Asita Bahu Rajanya Kritaha Uru Tadasya Yad Vaishyaha Padbhyagam Shudro Ajayata. So this supreme consciousness is represented as a being, as a human being. And he says, Brahmanas came out of his mouth, out of his face. From his hands came Kshatriyas, from his the hip area came the Vaishyas, and from the feet came the Shudras. So what it means is that by the face representing intelligence, so the Brahmanas are the intelligentsia of the community. And it's the same in all communities, not only in Hindus. See, the caste system is there all over the world. They just don't classify it. But there are intelligent people in all over the world, are they not? There are research scholars, there are professors, there are teachers, there are priests. So they are the Brahmanas. Whether you call them priests or you call them Brahmanas or you call them research scholars, it is all the same. So they come out of his face. Hands represent the power. So Kshatriya represents the power, the rulers, the kings, the soldiers, the generals. And they are there all over the world, right? Even the US Army has generals, you know, who run the army, and then there are soldiers who fight. And there are senators and congressmen and the president and the governor. So they are all Kshatriya. So they came from his hand. It is just symbolic. It's not that there was this being, but it's just a way of teaching us. Then from the thigh area, hip area, came the Vaishyas. Now the hip area represents creativity, right? Because we create new beings from that. So he says from his hip areas came the Vaishyas, who are the businessmen, the farmers, the industrialists. And what do? They create wealth. Industrialists create wealth, they create new products, farmers create, you know, agriculture, they create new crops. So the creative power expresses in the Vaishyas. And the feet represent the Shudras. The feet is the one that does all the work. Actually, who is the one that works the hardest? It's our poor feet. Mm-hmm. You know, morning to night, we are walking on this, our, you know, 100 pounds, 140 pounds, some put 200 pounds, 300 pounds on the poor feet. And then people say, my feet hurt. You know, she used to be 90 or 100 pounds. Now she weighs 160. Guess what? The feet were made by the Lord for 100 pounds. If you became 160, it's not his fault. It's not the feet's fault. It is your fault. And so the feet are the one that are the most important part of the body that do all the work. But people look down upon the Shudras. They are not to be. No, they are the important part of society. They do all the work. Suppose there were no farm workers. You know, who is going to, you know, cut the crops? Suppose there are no factory workers. Who is going to make the products? In the factories also, there are four classes, right? In the factory, there is the researchers. Who produce, who research, okay, these are the new products we need to make. And they do have nothing to do with creating wealth. They don't create wealth, but they do all the research, and because of their research, come out new products. Then there are the managers, who are the Kshatriyas, who decide, okay, this product is good, this product is research is not that good. So these are the products that we will market, that we will produce in the factory. So he decides to produce. Then there are the salesmen. Salesmen are the Vaishyas who go produce wealth, who will go out and sell the product and tell the companies, you know, this product is very good, you need to buy it. And then there are the factory workers. Suppose there were no factory workers, would anything be produced? Suppose there were no janitors, suppose there were no secretaries in the office. So all four are equally important. It's not that one is more important than the other. All four are essential for society to function. And originally, the classification was based on guna and karma, on your qualities and your actions. Had nothing to do with family. A person in a Shudra caste, if he was intelligent, he could become a teacher. You know, a person in a business class, you know, if he's very intelligent, he can become the ruler of the country. So it was not based on, but it was the entire humanity was classified. Now, how are these three karmas, three gunas, how they are admixed in all of us is like somebody has more sattva, rajas and tamas. They give the example of coffee. I think I may have talked about it before, but it's worth talking. So there are, you know, coffee. What does coffee have? Coffee has the coffee powder and the concoction, the liquid. You know, coffee powder you put in hot liquid, that's the decoction. Then there is sugar and then there is milk. So you have three classifications or three constituents of coffee. So what happens in the south of India? The south of India, coffee is so strong, everything is decoction. There is a trace of milk and a trace of sugar just to give color. It's so strong you can't drink it. In the north, when you go in the north, it's all milk. They take a milk and a little color of coffee and a lot of sugar, but little trace. So you can't even see the color. It looks like sweet milk. And in Gujarat, of course, it is all sugar. There is a little bit of coffee to give wetness and a little bit of sugar. So the point is that just as coffee is different in different parts of India, so each and every one of us is different based on our sattva, rajas and tamas. So what they did was they classified the classes into Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And they said, based on your gunas, how much sattva, rajas and tamas, how much purity, how much activity and how much tamas is passiveness is there in all of us. So a person who belongs to the Brahmana class, now remember, it's not by birth, it is by qualities. A teacher, whichever class he comes from, is a Brahmana. A priest, whichever, doesn't matter. So a sattvic person, a person who has 80% sattva, 15% rajas and 5% tamas is qualified to be a Brahmana. Now how about a kshatriya? Kshatriya are the rulers, they need a lot of passion, activity. Rajas 80%, 15% sattva because they need to be honest rulers, not be corrupt, and 5% tamas. But a vaishya, a businessman, needs a lot of, again, activity, but businessmen may not always be, you know, very sattvic, very pure. So they have 5% sattva and 15% tamas. And the shudras, the workers, have 90% tamas, 5% rajas, 5% sattva. Tamas here does not mean that they don't work. What they mean is they don't have initiative. A farm worker doesn't decide, I'm going to decide what's going to be farmed. No. The farmer decides and then he tells the farm worker, okay, go dig this, plow this. Same way a factory worker is told, okay, you are in the assembly line. As it comes, you keep assembling. You're not here to think, okay, should I do this or that? No, just... So that is the qualification. And how was this... were created by Prakriti Jair Muktam. Prakriti is also called Maya. They are all the same words. They are the creative power of the Lord. And this has two aspects. One is it creates the universe, the consciousness, and then it deludes us. The Lord himself appeared as this whole universe, but then we get deluded because of this power of the Lord where we see the differences, we don't see the Lord. Lord is in every one of us, but do we see that? No. They say, I see the Lord in everybody. Except my brother-in-law. Or in Hindu homes, I see the Lord everybody except my mother-in-law, my sas, you know, that's... So, how this universe came to be, so there are different theories. I'll just deal with them very briefly. In the Vedanta theory, there is consciousness alone, Brahman is, and this world is an illusory manifestation, like a play, like a movie which has no reality but is just an expression of the creative power of the Lord, and everything is that consciousness alone. That is called Advaita, means there are no two, and that is the Vedanta which is studied in the Bhagavad Gita. Then there is the Dvaita theory, which is also very popular. Christianity believes in it, Islam believes in it, a lot of Hindus believe in it, where they say there are two, me and God. Me means not only me, but all of us beings are one and God is separate from us. And so, you know, there is a theory of creative creation in that. And there was a great sage called Mahamati Prannathji in Gujarat, who was in the 17th century, where he gave a very interesting theory about creation. That is the Dvaita, that we, the beings, the souls, the individual souls were living with God. And so they say God was there and every day we used to see him. And we lived in a place called Paramdham, which is the highest abode of the Lord. And we lived there in supreme joy, supreme bliss. Why? Because we are with God all the time. Every time we can see him. And in heaven, everything is perfect, right? You think of mango. You don't even have to go pluck it from the tree. The taste of mango comes. You are fulfilled. You have to just sit there and think, mango. and you enjoy mango pizza, or pizza just comes. You don't have to call Domino's. The taste of pizza just comes in your mouth. You want jewelry, okay, you get a piece of jewelry just like that. Necklace. Girls say, that's a good place to go. So he said that we were living in heaven very happily with the Lord, very happily. Everything was perfect. And then we got bored of that. You know, kya hai? Every day there is joy. You know, every day there is, everything is perfect. And there is no challenge in life. There is no variety. You know, we want variety in life, right? So they said, God, we need to see variety. It's so boring. Every day, the same thing. You know, every day is joy, 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 joy. There should be some variety in life. So God said, okay, I'll create this world. And I'll send you there to experience variety. Oh, that will be wonderful. Will we get to experience all different things? Yes. But there is one caveat. He says, one thing. When you go there, you will forget me. Because you will get so mesmerized by this beautiful world I'm creating, you will forget me. He said, Lord, how can we ever forget you? We have been living with you day and night. We always remember you. We'll never forget you. We promise. God said, okay, let's see. So he sent us on this earth and created this beautiful universe. And guess what? What he said exactly happened. We completely forgot. So that is what these gunas tell us, that you are so caught up in this world of joy and sorrow, sattva and rajas, that you forgot your original state. All of us are of the nature of Om. All of us are the divine beings who are here in this world, to enjoy this world, to experience this world. You came for that. You didn't come to get caught in the world. It's like you go to see a movie and then you say, I don't want to leave this theater. You say, why? Oh, I'm enjoying the movie. I want to watch the 4 o'clock show, the 7 o'clock show, 10 o'clock show. Okay, now the theater has to close, right? Now please go. No. I want to sleep here at night because tomorrow morning I want to watch the 7 a.m. They'll kick you out. But that is what we have done. We came here to watch this movie of the world. We like it here. We don't want to leave. But the Lord says, you need to evolve because it is our vasanas, our desires and tendencies that have caught us. And we are so caught in this world that we have forgotten our abode. Kahan se aaya? There is a very beautiful song. Kahan se aaya? Kya tera ghar hai? Where have you come from? What is your home? Please don't forget it. So that is what this message is, that enjoy the world. See the variety. See all the different brands of coffee. But enjoy them all. Don't get caught up that this alone is good or this alone is bad. So they say evolve beyond it and become Trigunatit. Actually, there was a Swamiji in his commentary. Swami Ishwarananda gives a very humorous example. He says, when he studied in Mumbai, you know, they go for 2 years to study to become Swamis. So there was this Frenchman who also was doing the course. And he was there for 2 years. And he was hung up on the gunas. He loved this topic of gunas. So he'll say, this food, is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? Then this, what we are talking, is it sattvic, rajasic or tamasic? What is happening? Is it everything he wanted to know sattvic? So then Swami Chinmayananda, when he graduated, he gave him a name, Trigunatit Chaitanya. He says, go beyond the gunas. Gunas are the ones that are keeping you trapped. Go beyond and remember your true nature. And so that is the essence of this entire Bhagavad Gita. And that is the essence of this beautiful verse. The next verse is a continuation of the same idea. So any questions, any comments?
Creation is that God was by himself and he created this world. Because so even God got bored?
Yes, actually. No, it's not God didn't get bored, but that is the theory that God alone was. But see, he had the ability. So he said, let me become many. It's not that he became bored. It's like you have an ability to sing, right? Even maybe you do not have an ability to sing, you have a desire to sing. So what do? You force others to listen to you. If nobody listens, you at least sing in the bathroom. So you have the ability to sing, so you will sing wherever, whether you can or not. If somebody has an ability to paint, he will paint, you know. Somebody has an ability to, like these kids, you find they like to make blocks. So the creative, somebody likes to write. So the ability comes out and expresses. So the Lord had the ability to create. So he created this beautiful world. And it's not only this world. I was reading the other day. I was so amazed. It's mind-boggling. You know, there are 2 trillion galaxies. You know, there 1,000 million makes a billion. 1,000 billion makes a trillion. 2 trillion galaxies, not 2 trillion stars. 2 trillion galaxies. And each galaxy has thousands of stars, billions of stars. Each galaxy has billions of stars, and there are 2 trillion galaxies. These numbers you can't even. That beautiful world he has created, and everything is so orderly. And he extends even beyond that. That's why they say, na, Vakratunda Mahakaya, Surya Koti Samaprabha. He says, oh Lord, you extend beyond all these crores of galaxies, billions and trillions, you extend beyond that. So he had the ability to create. So he was sitting there, he said, let me create this world. So he created a beautiful world. Then what he did was an interesting experiment called human. That is what he created. And up till animals, everything was fine. Humans, what he did was, he said, okay, let me see how they work. So he gave us the knowledge to think, to decide, right or wrong, what I should do. And that's where all the problems came, because humans then have a choice of right or wrong, and we chose the wrong. We have the choice of good or bad, we chose bad. And those who chose good are good. Those who chose bad are suffering. So it's just an experiment. It's just a play. So take this world like a play, like a drama, like a movie, and come here and enjoy, and then at the end of it, live a good life and say, God, I'm ready to meet you. That should be the essence. I'm ready. You know, one should always be ready. Anytime I'm ready, it's like my bag is packed. I've done my duties. I've done good. God, anytime you can call me, I'm ready. Otherwise, people at 65 or 70, you know what? I didn't live a good life. I wasn't a good person. Now let me, you know, try to help. It's too late by then. Or let me start reading the Bhagavad Gita. Start reading whenever you can and start living the life. So that is the essence of this verse. But thank you. That's a good question. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत् ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम